For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today.
On yesterday's program, we spoke about the tax strategy group in the Department of Finance, the papers that it had put together in relation to what could be done in the budget. And we focused on issues in relation to income tax and USC and the like. But in the papers as well, and the front page of the Irish Daily Mail has outlined as well today, the Department of Finance officials said that climate plans to reduce car use are, quote, unfair and socially unacceptable, and also recommended that they should be paused until public transport improves. And there's other things as well we'll get to. We're talking a moment to Sive O'Neill, the climate environmental researcher. But Paul McAuliffe, as Fianna Fáil TD and spokesperson on social protection, do you agree that plans to reduce car use are unfair and socially unacceptable?
Well, I think the quote is actually that the introduction of a congestion charge would be socially unacceptable and unfair, but it must be all of our goals to reduce car use in the city. And I think what we're talking about here is two different departments having discussions within their departments, the tax strategy document, and equally within the Department of Transport talking about how they reduce demand. We're nowhere near a decision being made on a congestion charge. And I think it's important that people out there understand that it would require legislation, it would require engagement with Dublin City Council. And actually, in the city, we have reduced car use very significantly over the decade. But even in the last 4 years of this government, car usage in the city is down 17%, and walking, cycling and bus is all up. And that's because it's cheaper and it's easier to get in and out of town time-wise. And people are starting to adopt that and to adopt those modes because it is cheaper and they know if you go in the car, it takes longer. That's more of a discouragement to using the car than a congestion charge would be. And I think at this point, we need to focus, as the Department of Finance are saying in their document, we need to focus on the infrastructure that's needed. A lot of it in planning at the moment, but we need to focus on delivering it.
Sive O'Neill, so should we have more public transport available at affordable prices before we look to further penalise motorists?
Well, unfortunately, it's not a case of either or. I think we're going to have to do both. But just to roll back a little bit, I agree with everything that Paul McAuliffe said there. But what the tax strategy papers do is they kind of set out options, and the Department of Finance economists are always trying to find ways of raising revenue and to correct market inefficiencies and market failures in public policy. And the key challenge that they're interested in addressing is the fact that as our car fleets switch over to electric vehicles, the public purse is going to lose all the excise duty that has been kind of propping up public expenditure and the current budgets for as long as we can remember. So that income is going to have to be replaced with something else. So they're looking at having to plug the revenue gap. But the other side of it is that congestion charges are a key tool, one of many tools, and obviously improving public transport is the, you know, game-changing thing, really. But there are other strategies as well, because once you even have improved public transport, and we've seen increased investment in public transport and active travel in recent years, you have to have the road space in order to give that priority. So that means reallocating road space. And how do you do that? Well, you can create bus lanes, but you can also disincentivize driving through congestion charges. Now, you can charge more for parking, or you can introduce congestion charges at certain, you know, points in the city when you're coming into particular areas. You can use road pricing, and there's a variety of other ways. And obviously, there's the carbon tax and excise duty. Now, these are all seen as punitive, and I understand that they're not likely to be popular. But what happens when you introduce them is we can see from evidence in other cities, cities like Oslo, Stockholm, Rotterdam, Paris, London, you name it, is that once they've been introduced and people get used to them, people really like the effects. They like being in urban areas that have fewer cars. They like being able to cycle safely. They like the fact that their children can go to school on their own, you know, and they like the increased speed and flexibility and timetabling that's possible once you have that road space freed up. Your public transport services function much more efficiently. So the key thing is, how do we do it? What's the process? And Paul mentioned there the need for new legislation. I think this speaks to the fact that there's a kind of gap, especially in Dublin. We do not have a directly elected mayor. So these decisions are kind of almost taken out of the hands of the elected representatives of Dublin City, which I think is a shame. It'll be taken by the executive, by politicians at a national level. Really, these decisions should be taken at the level of the city, with a mayor who has a direct mandate for that. And it's really
important. Well, we see what happens in Limerick, so what John Moran might do in that regard.
Absolutely. I think it's really exciting. Once you give the mayor that responsibility and a budget, and they have the room to manoeuvre and to kind of pull in the key decision makers and agencies that are there. But at the moment, all of Dublin's transport planning is really done by the NTA, the National Transportation Agency, and the Department of Transport. And like, you know, the people don't have a voice. Like in cities where they've introduced congestion charges that have ultimately been successful and popular, they started out with referenda. I think in Oslo, they had a referendum. It was narrowly agreed to go ahead with a trial route, a trial period rather, of congestion charges. And once it was rolled out and people saw the benefits of it, they were happy to vote it in on a permanent basis. So that kind of democratic process is something that we should be
experimenting. Sorry, Saif, hold on a second. What you're sounding there is a bit less direct democracy type route. Don't we have publicly elected representatives who are elected, and they were only elected recently in our local elections, who should be given those powers on behalf of the people who elected them, rather than talking about referenda and other things?
I agree with you, but look what happened in the case of the Dublin Transport Plan. They made a decision to go ahead with the plan, and then it was scuppered because actually the executive had the ability to override them and to engage with those narrow, small group of retailers and car park owners that were trying to scupper the plan. So the elected representatives don't have enough legal authority to make these decisions. So if we're going to introduce legislation, what I'm really saying is that this is an opportunity to bring the decision-making powers into focus and to give a directly elected mayor and the elected representatives in Dublin City Council more power to experiment, to kind of trial things, to engage with the public in a different way, in a way that has a secure and stable policy trajectory, that we don't have people coming in at the last minute trying to slow things down or stop them. We're going to have a conversation about congestion charges. There's no way around it. The social and environmental costs of congestion, not to mention the economic costs, are actually not being borne. Like, drivers and motorists feel punished, and I know they'll be ringing you up in their droves now to complain about me, but the reality is the environmental and social costs are being imposed on the whole of society and nobody's paying for them. So we need to get more people out of their cars. We need to really rethink the way we allocate road space to give priority to public transport and active travel. And once we do that, you know, we change the city and how people move around the city for the better.
Indeed, all of our cities, because this is not just about Dublin, this is about Cork and Limerick and Galway, Waterford. But Paul McAuliffe, what about the point brought up by Saif there, that the power in relation to this seems to have been taken away from the elected politicians, that it is the management in Dublin City Council, the unelected management, it's the Road Traffic Authority, it is the Department of Transport officials who make the decisions.
Well, look, even if we did have a directly elected mayor in Dublin, I would highly doubt that they would be able to secure a mandate for a congestion charge. And I think that's because people in the city realise, you know, we have to bring people with us on this. There's over €1 billion has gone into active travel in the last 4 years. Everyone in the city can see more space being given to cycling, more space being given to walking, and that's a good thing. And as I say, it's having an impact because car usage is down 17%. The transport plan, that I actually disagree with my Fine Gael ministerial colleague on the transport plan. I actually think the transport plan was a decision made by our councillors. It's broadly supported, very misunderstood. People people talking about, you know, people not being able to drive into the city. That's not what it does. It stops cross-city transport. Like, there's so many ways that we can tackle climate action. Really low-hung fruit here that we can put in place more provisions, more provision for public transport. The idea of a congestion charge, I think, is it might be a part of a range of options, but I think it's the very last one that should be implemented when we get to the point where we've no other levers. And there's a lot that can be done on the transport thing alone. Like the Finglas Lewis project is a fantastic project, ready to go to planning in September. That's a post 2027 project in terms of construction. Why can't it be made a pre 2027 project? The Dart West, the Bus Connect projects, they're all in planning, and we need the administration, the bureaucracy of the city to crank up and deliver those projects. I want to see all of that before I see a congestion charge.
Thank you very much. Paul McAuliffe, Fianna Fáil TD, and Sive O'Neill, climate and environmental researcher.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.